Evan, before we dive into today's episode, I'm excited to kind of get your thoughts. So we're talking to an individual that works at a company called Live Earth. Live Earth looks like it's based out of Dallas, Texas. But Kev, you seem really excited about this. What do we know about Live Earth?
So when you sent me this a week or two ago, whenever that was, I started looking into it. And from what I could tell, the company is like a data visualization company, right? They do like real-time tracking of things. But the company actually looks like it was started as a way for the U.S. Special Forces to get real-time visibility during like classified operations. And so I kind of think of this as like, you know, when you're watching like real, those like, the you know, the military movies that do like raids and stuff, like, you know, Zero Dark 30, when they're going into Osama bin Laden's compound, like, and you see like the military people, like, obviously on the ground, but like the drone footage or like the other people who are like at their base or whatever, tracking like where the soldiers are as they're walking around. I think that's what this type of stuff is. And so in my mind, that kind of stuff is pretty cool.
When he comes on, it's nothing like that and your dreams are crushed. Also, say visualization three times fast.
Visualization. Am I saying it funny?
It's a hard one.
It is a hard one.
Data visualization. Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's a tough word.
When you were talking about this, it was reminding me, I saw this documentary recently called Something Solo. It's about like hikers. So it's about like a hiker who wants to, like, you know, when you do it where there's no one belaying you, you have no ropes, you're just like freestyle hiking up a like insane rocks, and people do it all the time and then they just die because one fall and you're dead. I just think it's insane.
Like, there's that free solo documentary on Nat Geo. Yeah, I saw that.
That's what it is. And so that was the original. And then they made another one called like The Alpinist, which I haven't seen. And I don't want to say what I heard about it because there's some spoilers, so I can't say it. But I get the idea of being bold and crazy and doing some like, this is for me, this is the craziest thing ever. But like, honestly, I've never woken up and been like, I would like a 50-50 chance at death today. Let's get weird. It's just not in me. And I don't know if that makes me a loser or not, but yeah, it's just some, if you're listening right now, I'm curious like how you feel about that. So
I like the idea of like rock climbing to a certain degree, but like without ropes and stuff, that just seems like you're adding an unnecessary risk.
And like, yeah, but it's also like the high, like you're in the documentary, he was saying it's the closest to perfection that he could get. And to me, all I kept thinking is we obviously define perfection differently.
I mean, I feel like, sure, it's fun to climb and stuff, but like, I don't want to fall to my death. That seems unnecessary. As a risk taker, I've done some stuff. Like, I jumped out of planes a few times and it's awesome, but I had a parachute. I wouldn't jump out of a plane without a parachute.
I didn't think it was that awesome. I was like, the like 30 seconds of not being able to breathe, I'm like,
I thought it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. I would do it again. In my mind, that's part of my weight loss goals, is to get light enough again to be able to do it again.
But I thought you were saying like you would lose weight jumping out of a plane. I was like,
no. Like, I'm right now, there's like a line where you're too heavy to be in the chute. Right now, but I am there. But my goal is to potentially drop enough that I can get back in it and do it. My wife would kill me.
We should do a fitness tech episode. I'd be curious about that.
No, my wife would kill me because we still have kids and they're not in college yet. And they still, you know, apparently I'm useful being still alive. But I would do it again in a second.
I'm going to check with the kids to see if they feel that way.
The kids and my wife might have a different opinion, but financially they need me for the moment.
I don't have kids and I'm not interested in taking that risk again. And one time is enough. Anyway, if you are still listening, we appreciate you and welcome to the show. So hello and welcome to That Tech Pod, where we discuss all things e-discovery, data privacy, cybersecurity, and tech innovations. I'm Laura Milstein and I am not sure if I'm going to absolutely love today's episode or just tear new Earth to a new planet.
Live Earth.
See, already today's episode, Live Earth.
Yeah, I'm Kevin Albert, and I feel like I know slightly more about tech, and also have read the guy's bio. How about that?
Ooh, a lot of hate coming out on today's episode. So we are bringing heavy hitters from this industry in to talk about all these topics. And today, Kevin, since you read his bio, why don't you read it to our audience and tell everyone who are we talking to today?
Sounds great. Today we are talking to Jim Barker. He is the Chief Revenue Officer at Live Earth. Jim leaves revenue growth for Live Earth out of Dallas, Texas, helping the world's largest organizations make faster and better decisions with data. Live Earth's operational analytics and data enrichment platform leverages real-world data with customer data to provide actionable insights, allowing them to win in their marketplace over the competition. Jim is a driven sales and marketing leader with 25 years of experience leading organizations in the technology and communications space. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Jim Barker, first real question, and probably the most important one of the day, is, are you related to Bob, and is The Price Right?
Well, Laura, funny as it may seem, I'm coming to you from Texas, and you may giggle at this, but my middle name is Bob, so you can officially say that you had a Jim Bob on your podcast now.
Oh,
but no,
gosh.
I am not related at all to Bob Barker.
My heart is beating, but it seems the price is not right.
Right.
So I want to be upfront with you for this episode today. Kevin is so stoked. He was looking at Live Earth, and he is coming in thinking that you guys are basically Mission Impossible. This is the greatest company of all time. And I'm a little skeptical. So first of all, for all our listeners, you should know this guy right here. Jim came on so prepared. He's wearing a purple shirt. He's got the purple, like, Live Earth logo, like his little bookshelf. I don't even know if this is like the best virtual background I've ever seen or if it's a real background. But I mean, Jim, can you tell us, is this real? What? This is so good.
Thank you for the compliments. I wish my office was this clean.
It's amazing.
But this is my way of keeping my office always clean with this virtual background.
Yeah, you need to get that custom made in real time. Like, that looks so good.
Yeah, I was going to be like, move that box to the right.
Prove it. So you're up for a challenge today is the point. Your goal for today is either to prove Kevin right and prove me wrong, or to really learn a lot about yourself and your experiences and reevaluate your career path if I happen to be the one who was right in this.
Yeah.
And I'm just not sure. So right off the bat, tell us, what is Live Earth? Why is it cool? Who are you? What's going on? Give us more info.
Awesome. So Live Earth, we're a 9-year-old software as a service data platform company. And really, if you think about the applications, many applications reside in the retail space where we've got this data platform that streams in hundreds of third-party data sources into our platform so that organizations can then basically sign up for a license, turn it on, and automatically get access to this data. So think of things like weather, traffic, foot traffic, everything from like weather type data to economic data that you would want access to at your fingertips with the software license. That makes sense. And so then basically what most of our clients do, and most of these clients are, you know, their retailers have locations all over. We do quite a bit in banking and telecom and some other spaces too. But really what they're wanting to do is leverage external information to make better decisions about their business. So if there's, you know, naturally people can follow storms and fires and traffic related incidents that have an impact on performance in retail sector. Same thing goes with economic data. So when you can identify like where consumers are spending money, what's the foot traffic into certain retailers, that's the type of data that they come to us for. And then they leverage our data platform to, in many cases, bring in some of their own data, overlay that data, and then make some decisions based upon both of the sets of data, if that makes sense.
So my understanding and reading in this is like the heat map. So like when in like Zero Dark 30, we're going to invade, Osama bin Laden's compound, this is like the thing that tracks like where the soldiers are. So it's here's soldier one, here's soldier two, you know, type of thing for the people who are back in like the bunker or whatever. Is that correct? Is that where this started?
Absolutely. You nailed
okay.
it, Kevin.
That's, got it.
We started 9 years ago, primarily working with military operations. And we still have a portion of our business that does that. Naturally, I can't talk that much about it, but what you're talking about is right on.
I get like why a store might use this to see where people be crowding and maybe you like put a lot more of the cool expensive stuff there and like the less stuff over there, you know, somewhere else. But are there other applications for, you know, either smaller companies or more like individuals who would use this?
Kevin, it kind of sounds like you no longer think this is the coolest thing ever.
No, I do. I was just trying to think of what else we would do with it.
I'm starting to feel like it's super cool, so it looks like we're shifting sides.
Shifting sides, exactly. It's definitely a business-to-business play for us, but it's not really size-specific. It just so happens that a large percentage of our clientele is in the retail space because they have so many locations. If you think about our platform, a lot of it's driven by time and location. And so we're synchronizing based on time and location within our platform of all of this data. So a lot of retailers use it for that purpose. But we also have very close by airports to us, which you guys heard where I'm from, that are clients of ours that use it for things like projecting parking revenue based upon traffic, planning for storms, things of that nature that have an impact that may just be one location, not necessarily a large retail organization, if that makes sense. So it definitely has applications in the B2B, you know, the what I'd call small, medium enterprise space as well.
Are y'all based in Dallas? I know you're in Dallas, but you're based there, right?
We are.
The company.
We are based in Dallas. Great.
I just love Texas. You're like, this is the best place to be in the winter and in the summer. I mean, just don't leave your home. It's too hot.
It is, Laura, right now as we speak, it's 106 degrees here. So. It's not the place to be at this moment, for sure.
That's why you're inside. Summertime in Dallas, it's like, it's perfect because anytime you want to travel, everywhere is amazing in summer except Dallas. And in winter, Dallas is a dream. So,
exactly.
big Texas fan. I lived there for a few years, so absolutely love it. I wanted to ask you about, I heard, and tell me if this is true, rumor on the streets that LiveEarth has organized several high-profile events in the past. Is that true?
We've definitely been a part of some. Most of what we do these days are really more centric around geo areas with clientele. So we've been to trade shows and things like that in the past. But a lot of what we're doing these days is really more, a lot of what we're dealing with is sensitive. You know, if you think about data from, first off, the data that we provide is normally arranged through partners that we have pretty sophisticated legalities around sharing. So we have to share information with them around who we're sharing that information with. A lot of our clients are the same way. They have data that's super sensitive to them. So in a lot of cases, they'll come to events to learn more about, you know, our data platform. But once it gets into really diving into their specific use cases, it becomes more independent conversations, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do want to dive into the data part. But before we get into that, something that admittingly a lot of companies now need to care about and should be caring about, and I'm not saying I do or do not, you know, it's not about me today, but I understand that LiveEarth operates kind of at the intersection of technology and sustainability. And if I am wrong on this, please tell me. But if I'm right, how do you see technology playing a pivotal role in addressing environmental changes?
Oh, it's such a wonderful question. So we do a lot. We have use cases with clients around ESG, environmental social governance. And a lot of those use cases are around, since we are, if you think about, you know, a platform that's very geospatial in nature, we can see around the world different things that are taking place. Some of these things are known and planned for and some are not. If you think about things like, we've got a large mining company that leverages our platform to watch anything, think of earthquakes. A lot of us think of an earthquake, you know, happens 1500 miles away. It's not that big of a deal, but with a mining operation, it is. It impacts the sludge and the things that come off from that mine, which in essence have the ability to impact people. You know, so whereas someone, you know, this mining operation starts a mine in a certain geography, where it's very safe until something happens that now adjusts that, they want to be made aware of it. So they incorporate that into their, what they call their ESG risk ratings around their whole investment portfolio. And we're also seeing a lot of these days around EV, you know, a lot of electric vehicle charging stations using the capability of understanding, you know, where are those charging stations, what traffic's going, you know, through these facilities or in this particular path, and how many do we need, as well as maintaining those to make sure that they're up all the time so that, you know, their proper maintenance is performed on them, those types of things.
So how detailed are you able to kind of look? So my question is sort of when you watch all the movies or TV shows, they're like looking at a street and they're like, enhance that, zoom in on this guy's license plate. And they're like, all right, now make it a little clearer, that kind of thing. Is that stuff the kind of thing that you guys are able to do, and how detailed can you get?
Yeah. So what we typically do, Kevin, is there's a couple of things. First off, we tap into any DOT camera that's publicly accessible. They actually make that. You have to go through a vetting process to get access to them, but it would be frightening to you to see the ability for us to look at, data all around especially in the United States, around traffic, car traffic, zooming into license plates. We also integrate with license plate readers that as well. So these platforms that have that capability, we integrate with a lot of those. So yeah, absolutely. There's a degree of it and so a lot of police departments are clients of ours as well. They naturally use the platform for those types of things. But you would be the amount of data that's available to us today is significantly different than it probably was 15 years ago. And because of that purpose, a lot of these clients use that data to really narrow in on those types of things. So they can see, you think about even in the retail sector, loss prevention is a big number. So if you think about a $100 billion retail grocery chain, they typically are losing somewhere around $4 billion a year that's walking out the door without people knowing about it. And so in a lot of cases, what we're doing in those environments is integrating with their video management systems, with their point of sale systems, all of that, and capturing those moments where things like that are happening so we can proactively tell them things about it. So there's an element of the data platform that's good for looking at the data, but probably the component in those types of environments that becomes more important is the actionable insights around anomalies, correlated events, and predictions that we can look at to notify someone in advance that, hey, you've got on aisle 11, someone's just picked something up and they've actually, instead of putting it in their basket, they put it behind their back or whatever that might be. So that ability to, send a notification through text to like a store manager or store director in that case gives them the ability to go watch and follow that person and control some of that loss.
So you're like the narc who's like saying this guy didn't scan the things in the self-checkout. I got it. All right.
I like that you said narc because that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm just like, oh, okay. So that's you.
No, I get it though. It makes sense. I wasn't thinking about that like perspective of it. I was thinking more along the lines of like the movie. They're like, I want to read that license plate and like enhance. It's always like someone who's like drawing a weird box around a thing. You zoom in, you're like, that's not possible. But now you're telling me that it's possible. I think that's really cool.
That's right.
I love it.
Jim, I have a question for you that's a little non-traditional. So if this scares you a little bit, you can tap out. But
I'm ready for it.
Just curious, since you're a narc in this situation, let's say, God forbid, the three of us were in a car and we accidentally killed someone. Total accident. It's horrible, but this person has passed away. And two of us, you being one of them, has decided we are gonna not tell. We're gonna kill one of them, like as in you're gonna kill me or Kevin and make it look like Kevin murdered this person. This had nothing to do with us. We weren't there. Would you choose to kill Kevin or would you choose to kill me and why?
Oh, totally tapping out. I am tapping out on this. I thought I was ready for it and I wasn't. You got me.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you chose not to kill me. Let's just put that
Kevin,
way.
Kevin, the real answer is we would have to kill him. He's the narc.
Exactly. Obviously. But he's definitely the one who has all the secrets.
Yeah. Though he's
I'm
got.
I'm afraid that might be me. I might be the one, the outlier.
But,
exactly. It's trouble already.
My real question back on it is you're the money man. Money is everyone's favorite word or least favorite word, depending on where you are in life and what you're going through. And we get it. But revenue is key to any business. So as a tech company, what strategies do you recommend for revenue growth through maybe different tech innovation or just in general?
I think there's so much these days, Laura, that is around understanding the customer experience in a totally different way. The whole digital economy has just changed everything and continues to just evolve at such a rapid rate. We're all dependent so much upon the devices we have in our hand to do so many different things, that learning about the customer today is more important than ever. Customer experience and understanding that journey of a customer coming in and facilitating that process is I believe just critical. So you can't have enough tools to understand that. There's so much. If you think about Google put out this thesis, I don't know, 15 years ago, 10 or 12, 15 years ago, called ZMOT, the zero moment of truth, where the control of the brand was taken away by consumers because of the advent of these things, you know, iPads, iPhones, all the different devices that we have at our exposure. We're now, you know, brands are can be built or can go away by consumers overnight. And so I would say my advice in that area as someone leading revenue is, no, you can't know your customers too well. Leverage the tools that allow you to understand the customer experience in any way possible. And there's many tools out there for that, you know, naturally, you know, CRM systems and those types of customer relationship management systems, but even integrating all different types of data. We have a lot of clients that leverage our data for data enrichment so that they can learn more about their customers, those types of things. And they're available. So that would be my thought around revenue. We focus heavily on customer experience, as you can tell.
How does AI come into play? Are you guys dealing with being able to kind of leverage some of these new sort of either generative AI technologies or just sort of these learning models to be able to kind of take the data and go one step farther? How are you guys incorporating AI into your technology?
Yeah, great question, Kevin. It's we're on that journey for sure. And there's definitely, you know, generative AI has done so much for just people in general. I think that, and I don't mean that, no pun intended there, but in general, the ability to get things done quicker, leveraging AI is a game changer. I feel like we're going to see this from here on out. We see it a lot where it allows clients to really leverage, if you think about data enrichment and learning more about someone to piece together that story, that's where we're seeing AI come in more and more.
But so how do you deal with sort of the anomalies or some of the, like the hallucinations, especially when you're dealing with like satellite imagery?
It's a good question. So basically what we're tracking is physical data. So in most cases, we're not leveraging AI for the ability. We're leveraging AI more for predictive capability. So saying, hey, they're moving this direction. So based upon our predictions, this is where they'll be at this particular time.
Got it. I see what you're saying, but okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Jim, I want to ask about you personally. We've talked a lot about Live Earth. I think we have a lot to marinate on there, maybe more than I anticipated. So it's going to take me some time for sure. But I want to ask about you. Other than obviously we know you live in the greatest state of all time, Texas. Really tried to get my fake Texas accent. I think it shined right through. But I'm curious on your background. So I understand that you have been in this role for a bit prior to coming to Live Earth. You were also a chief revenue officer before. But before that, it looks like you did a lot of marketing and sales. What do you feel is the big difference in changing a career path from being directly involved as a sales side person to being somebody who's now sitting there directly going through the revenue and looking at the financials? Do you like it better? What risks and challenges do you see there?
It's a more complete picture. I think if I think about, you know, my background in leading sales, involved in sales in any capacity, as well as being involved in marketing in any capacity, both of those fun, wonderful experiences, I value them significantly. Sitting in a role where you're responsible for revenue and ultimately involved with the team that's responsible for it, it really brings in that customer experience element more as well. So, you know, if you think about a traditional sales organization, although we're all evolving, it's all around going and winning new customers and growing those customers. Think about marketing. It's about going and identifying customers and facilitating getting the customers to you, where the holistic picture around that customer experience is, how do I take a customer that came to me that, you know, is worth a dollar and turn it into $10? And a lot of that's around understanding the customer life cycle. So knowing that in these intervals, these types of things are going to happen that are going to ultimately impact. And so it's just a fun, it's a journey mapping exercise to a certain degree, but it's really just around understanding your customer's journey to map that to, you know, optimal performance for them, helping them solve issues that help them better perform in their business, and ultimately being in the right place to optimize our own revenue through that process.
Do you hate it? Is there any part of you that just hates it? You ever just like wake up and you're like, I just hate this?
No, it's funny. I've been married, this next year will be 30 years, and my wife thinks what I do is crazy. And I just love it. She says, oh my gosh, that sounds so stressful, but I love it.
I really like where you went with that, because I honestly thought that you were going in a different direction. I thought you were going to be like, no, but I've been married for 30 years and every day I do wake up with my wife and I think I hate it. So I'm glad you didn't go in that direction. Shout out to her. She sounds lovely.
She is. Very, very blessed. That's for sure.
Oh, I love that. Well, you have been an amazing guest today. I think I'm more interested in Live Earth. I'm going to be honest. I went in skeptical and now I'm like, okay, I could get into this. I could get into this more. So I'm going to have to do my own research outside of this. Kevin came way more prepared than me. Don't tell anyone. If you're listening, just block that part out. But thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate your time and getting to know you a bit. So, Kevin, we just talked to Jim Bob Barker from Live Earth. What were your tech takeaways?
I think all things satellite imagery are cool. And so I was excited about this one because I think it's neat. I think the idea of, you know, being able to track the soldiers in real time is badass. And thinking about sort of what you would do with that afterwards, I think is a really cool idea. And so I thought it was a neat pod. I actually really enjoyed talking with him. I think this was interesting. It's not necessarily something that I necessarily think of all the time. And I'm always, when I'm watching movies and stuff, I'm like, that's gotta be bullshit, you know, that kind of thing. But I like that he confirmed that we can like enhance, you know, and zoom in and tell us what that license plate is from space and, you know, using the cameras and all. Cause you see some of those movies, you're just like, that's impossible. But I like that he debunked some of that. So that was great.
I just kept thinking of Google Earth.
Yeah. But I mean, it's amazing how far you can zoom in on Google Earth. And this sounds like it's even farther than that. And I think that's awesome. I know I'm going to make a movie reference that you are going to give me a hard time about. No. But do you remember the movie, Any of the Enemy of the State, where like it's the Will Smith one? And he's walking around and like, oh, you could see the guy drop the thing into the package. And now we've seen it shift in the bag. And, you know, that means it's facing to this direction. And I thought that kind of stuff is badass.
I have seen this one. So I'll give you that.
But you know what I mean? Like, but you wonder, like, that can't be done.
I agree.
Like,
I agree.
That kind of stuff is stupid. But no, I thought it was cool.
I also just have this weird crush on the state of Texas. It's like bizarre. Like, I don't want to live there. I have lived there. I don't want to live there. It's too spread out for me, especially Dallas. But I do have a crush on it. Like, I have thought about if states were people. So like if Texas as a state was a guy and I'm like, would I date him? Like, I think he'd be too hot for me, you know? I'd be like, there are some times where I feel good about him and other times where I can't breathe. I feel like I'm suffocating from how hot he is, you know? It'd be tough. That was just a personal side thought, though, that I did want to share.
Some of that was out loud, Laura.
I know. I do have a crush on the state of Texas as a whole. So anytime someone comes on, I'm like, before we talk about you and your life, can we just share how great Texas is? For no reason. I'm not from Texas at all. Anyway, with that being said, if you are interested in learning more about Live Earth, about Jim Barker, about that tech pod, being on that tech pod, suggesting a topic or anything at all, you just want to talk to us, you want to tell me that you hate the state of Texas or agree with me on the state, please reach out to me at contact@thattechpod.com. Somebody internally will get back to you eventually because we care and we are excited to hear from you. Thank you to everyone that has been reaching out. If you have not already, please head over to linkedin.com/thattechpod. Any other form of our social media that may or may not exist, I'm personally not sure, but we appreciate you listening and want you to continue to listen. So thank you.
If you have a chance, give us a review, give us a rating, let us know how we're doing, subscribe to our website. See ya.